Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we invite your call right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul gives this encouragement to all of us, and I think it's so timely in our lives today, especially as we're talking about this subject of grace and money. He says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When it comes to money matters, there's a lot of anxiety. Many of us get into all kinds of states of worry, distress. Our minds just go crazy with wonderment as far as what tomorrow is going to hold. But here Paul says to be anxious about nothing. We don't have to be anxious about anything. And so I guess the question that we need to ask is how can our anxieties be quieted down? How can we go from an anxious heart to a peaceful heart, especially as it relates to money? So what are some things that people are looking for in that particular point of their lives when anxiety is so strong?
Yeah, you know, I think, Bob, that the world tells us we got to put a Band-Aid on those feelings that, you know, oh, my goodness, you are feeling anxious. And we can't have that. You know, a real Christian would be victorious, and you're not supposed to feel any of this. You're not supposed to feel stress, and you're not supposed to feel anxiety. So we need to put a Band-Aid on that feeling. But, you know, that's not really God's way. God's way is the renewing of the mind. It's not a Band-Aid on the feelings. And you'll notice that, well, coincidentally, our feelings come from our thoughts. It's like a computer with input and output. I mean, the output, whether it's a printed page or whether it's a video production or whatever that output is, there had to be input first. And so the programming goes in and then the output comes out. And in the same way, our minds function that way. I mean, we've got anxiety on the outside. Well, where's that coming from? Well, we're getting anxious thoughts on the inside. So, you know, it seems to me we got to start in the right place, and God's way is through the renewing of the mind, and it's important to get that order right.
Yes, indeed. I love when you look at underneath kind of the words in the New Testament and go to see what the actual definitions are. This word anxiety, sometimes it's translated as care. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, as Peter wrote. Also, Jesus talked about worry, and it's a word that talks about a disruption of the mind and personality. We get so wrecked on the inside, and that's what this is talking about. And before we can ever grab hold on to wisdom and have a plan to get out of the situation that we're in, or to take a step, to take a first step, sometimes we have to deal with that feeling. We have to deal with that, and we have to come to a point and have our minds soothed and calmed. And that's what Jesus does for us with this renewing, with this grace that he's extended to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. When we know that he's for us, when we know that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, when we know that we are right in God's sight, then our minds start to slow down a little bit. They start to get quiet, and peace can enter the heart. And it's at that point that we are open to the wisdom of God and dealing with the circumstance that we're in, especially when it relates to money. So this is a huge deal. I know all of us have money struggles. I mean, that's just part of living life today. But oftentimes, we don't know what to do, and we get so wrecked inside that anxiety becomes kind of our companion. And it's like, that's not a friend you want. And you have to figure out how to get rid of that friend and grab hold of the peace of God. And then at that point, wisdom can flow. You can actually hear what God's Spirit is saying about the steps you need to take to move in the right direction.
Yeah. It's interesting that verse 8 there actually deals with what you and Andrew are talking about. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things rather than all of this stuff that breaks us. I love that word, breaks us inside, so that all we've got is anxiety.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you found Basic Gospel on your radio dial. Glad you have. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Plenty of open lines. If you have a question about some money issue or some other situation you're facing in life, or perhaps a particular Bible question, why, give us a call right now. The lines are pretty much wide open, all the time remaining on the clock at 1-800-677-9377, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Staten Isle, New York, and talk with Vincent, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. I have a small question. I was wondering if women are allowed to be pastors.
If women are allowed to be pastors, you're looking for some biblical directives as far as that is concerned. Paul writes to Timothy. And he writes this in the second chapter of his first letter: a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness, and propriety. So this is a passage that many people look at and say, see, the Bible says very clearly that women cannot be pastors, and that is an interpretation. The word authority there is a unique word. It's the only time in the New Testament that this particular word is used, and it's not dealing with authority in the sense of a position over a group of people. It's a word that talks about domination, domineering something. And I think what Paul was really addressing is that there were women that came out of this temple worship, and they were trying to bring false doctrine, and they were trying to, forcefully put it on other people. And Paul was saying, I don't permit women to have that type authority. That's not their role. The doctrine has been given in Christ Jesus, and we all need to learn about that in quietness and submission. We don't have it all together as people. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not God's ways. So we need to be taught. And when we come unto Jesus, we can experience His yoke, His rest, and we can actually learn of Him in quietness and humility. So I think that's what this passage is really getting at. Well, that still begs the question, what about women pastors? And certainly on today's scene in the landscape of Christianity today, we see a lot of women pastors, don't we, guys?
Yep. Yeah, I know one personally. Wonderful lady.
Yeah, first of all, I think we have to, in addressing the issue, you have to say, I'm not going to get my identity from my role. So whether I say one word, zero words, or 1,000 words in church, I don't get my worth, I don't get my value, I don't get my identity from that. I get my identity from being a child of God, whether male or female, we're all one in Christ. So we may play different roles, but our roles are not our identity. And I think distinguishing those two is key anytime you address this question.
Yes, indeed. Well, Vincent, hope that helps. We certainly appreciate your call today.
Yes, indeed.
Always an interesting question, and draws out a lot of opinion and thoughts and ideas. And
yeah.
I think we just keep going back to the Word of God.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, Vincent, thanks for your call. And we have plenty of open lines, friends. If you'd like to call, we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, my name is Bob Davis. And again, we thank you for joining us. 1-800-677-9377. Come on in, be a part of this one. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Kathleen, listening to us on WMCA as well. Hi, Kathleen.
Yes, hi. How are you? I've spoken to you guys before. I appreciate your and I value your opinions. And what the problem is okay, maybe you can help me. It's when, let's say, God says when you're supposed to say something, you say it. And then when, or you're trusting and you're in, you know, you said, okay, I'm ready. And then all of a sudden somebody will say something. And when you're supposed to say something, you don't. And then after you don't, you regret it and you get the anxiety. And then you feel like you failed God because God said, didn't I tell you to say something? And you didn't.
So, well, Kathleen, yeah, you know, that is my life story there for about a decade. Let me tell you, I got into the place where I thought that I was being motivated and inspired by God to do this and do that and go over here and talk to these people and influence these people and say this and say this now. And then sometimes I wouldn't have the guts to do it. You know, the opportunity would present itself. And I would bail. I would freak out and bail, and out of fear or anxiety, I would not react. And then I would wallow in disobedience, or what I perceived to be disobedience. And let me just encourage you to reevaluate in the discernment department here. Reevaluate how you are looking at things. You know, remember that the Bible says that the spirit that we have, the spirit of the prophets, is subject to the prophets. Now, let me explain what that means. It means that you are not overtaken by a foreign spirit. Being motivated and animated by God is not being overtaken by a foreign spirit. It is not, you know, secret messages from heaven about when to speak. But instead, what we have is a very slow process called growth, and we get our minds renewed, and we live from the heart daily, and it's not a bunch of hoops that we have to jump through, what I might call bravery hoops. And I feel like the enemy is dangling a bravery hoop in front of you and saying, see, you better speak now. God wants you to speak now. If you don't speak now, you're going to be slammed with condemnation and lack of bravery and accusation hurled against you. And then you ride the roller coaster of trying to have enough guts and then being blamed when you don't have enough guts. And what I'm saying is God is not in the midst of all that. You know, God doesn't motivate us and then slam us with fear. So look for a different motivation. Look for God to be building you up, encouraging you in the gospel, and over time, you get more and more confident in what you believe, and then you share from the heart, not out of a sense of desperation.
Right. It was something I was supposed to say. I heard somebody say something, and instead of correcting them, I just let them say it, and I let it go on, and then after I got off the phone, I could hear God say, you should have said something. Why are you afraid? I didn't give you the spirit of fear. You know, mm-hmm. And prior to that, I was reading something that I had written down. It says, fear brings freedom. And it says, fear not, I will help you. So all of these wonderful, beautiful, encouraging words that God gave me. And another one is for March 19th, which says, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise planning will watch over you, and understanding will keep you safe. That's Proverbs 2:10-11. So mm-hmm. all of these things, wisdom and, you know, and knowledge, and take, you know, faith brings freedom, and fear not, I will help you. And I know it in my heart and soul, and the minute they said it, instead of correcting them, I mm-hmm. didn't. And what happened is it brought anxiety, just what I frequently listen to you.
Well, Kathleen,
went, oh,
you know,
my God.
Well, the thing I think you're seeing, Kathleen, is that, oh, I failed this time, and if something happens to me again, I'm thrust in the same situation, I'm probably going to fail then. And so you're projecting that into the future. That's what anxiety is all about.
Horrible.
All you can do at this point, Kathleen, is to say, hey, that's what happened, and I'm going to let that go and trust in God's love today, trust in God's spirit today, and let him move in my heart, just as Andrew was saying. It's this journey that we're on. It's a process. Andrew was talking about fear in his own life. I've experienced that fear. I've known that I should have said something or done something, and I've just let it go for a while. But I tell you, eventually, you know, as you grow in the Lord, as you learn to just trust and relax and not worry about that, you find this courage building up inside, and you're just automatically, you say some things and you step back and says, wow, I can't believe that came out of my mouth.
Which is what I wish I had.
Don't worry about it.
Well, the boat has sailed, and I can't go back. And I'm going, oh God, the boat has sailed, Lord.
Well, Kathleen,
I'm send it back.
Let me do this for you. We have a wonderful resource. It's a book called The Hurt and the Healer. It deals with this very subject. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send it to you. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
You hang on, Kathleen.
Okay. God bless.
Well, The Hurt and the Healer and all the materials that we produce, the resources that are available for you, are available from our store at store.basicgospel.net. We encourage you to go in there and look around, and you'll find The Hurt and the Healer and all of our publications. That's at store.basicgospel.net.
Well, let's go to David in New Jersey listening to us on WMCA. Hi, David.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
We're doing well, thank you.
Thank you for the show.
Well, thanks for your call, and thanks for the kind words. We sure appreciate that.
Yeah. I wanted to know, was Jesus a prophet?
Well, he was in the Old Testament, you know, Moses was a prophet, and it talks about in Deuteronomy 34, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Well, Jesus became the fulfillment of that. But he was not only a prophet, he was the Son of God, the Messiah, God in human flesh, the Savior of the world.
Right. So my question was, why would God, I think it was about 2,000 years before Jesus, why would God say there will never arise a prophet like Moses if he knew very well that 2,000 years plus later, it was Jesus coming along? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, my take on that is that Jesus is not really a prophet that you would compare with someone like Moses. He's much greater. He's the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is a member of the Trinity. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was there. Among the Godhead, and he was involved, as Colossians says, he was in creating the world. So to put him on par with Elijah or Elisha or Moses or any prophet doesn't seem appropriate at all. So God has plenty of room to brag on Moses as a prophet, but then Jesus Christ is just a totally different ballgame. He's the Son of God.
And my last question was, What is the reason why the only religion in history, thousands of religions, that come up with the only story that's the most powerful, most compelling, of divine revelation in front of millions of people? Why is there no, all the other religions begin, including our religion, Christianity, begin with a belief that one person, you know, with 500 or 1,000 or followers. The only religion that makes this ridiculous claim that no one contests it is the Jewish religion. Why doesn't other religions have? Why didn't God come to the world and say, in a mass revelation, guys, guess what? I got a great deal for you. It's called Jesus. Why didn't he do that?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, in a way he did. I mean, Romans tells us that he made himself obvious and evident through creation. And so number one is, hey, look how we got here. Do we think this is an accident?
I'm talking about the Father. I'm sorry. I don't mean, sure. I'm not talking about the Father. I'm talking about Jesus. Why didn't God come to the world and say, guys, guess what? Got a great surprise for you, a great gift. It's called Jesus in front of millions of people. He never did that.
It's very interesting. First of all, I don't know because I'm not God, but there's something very curious here. I mean, Jesus did miracles and then he went and hid. He did things that were not for flash and show. In fact, he said, "Blessed are those who will not see me and yet believe." And so for some reason, he's very interested in us sharing the message, spreading the word about him, and having faith in him without sight. And so it seems like he treasures the idea of us believing in him even without seeing. And so while some people have fireworks in the sky and a lot of flash and show all the time, Jesus actually did the opposite of that in a radical humility. And it surprises me too. And I don't know why he did it all the time, but I know that our God is humble, that he came in human form, and he's not always about the flash and the show. But we'll get a lot of these things answered, I think, later. It's hard to speculate on every ounce of God's character. His ways are just not our ways sometimes.
Right, I appreciate that. My last question is, doesn't it make sense, though, that in order for subsequent generations to believe in a specific story, mm-hmm. at least have one time in history, forget about the humility of Jesus, but why wouldn't the Father God at least do what he did for the Jewish people and make a one-time divine revelation? The way the miracles that you spoke about in the New Testament are all miracles that we can always question about the validity because they were never witnessed by millions and millions of people.
Think about all the Gentiles in the Old Testament. My goodness, even from a Jewish standpoint, that wasn't very nice, and nice is in quotes there. I mean, in other words, God has been perfectly fine with a select few believing in him, even though the offers on the table, not all come to him and not all believe. And even in the Old Testament, Gentiles were essentially without hope unless they heard the news and had faith like Rahab the harlot, perhaps. But many, many Gentiles perished in unbelief, and I'm just grateful as a Gentile today. I'm a Gentile today, and I'm grateful that I have the opportunity at all to believe in Jesus. So, you know, I don't know. I don't feel responsible for explaining every aspect of God, but I do know that God is not anxious about every single person not believing in him. He seems secure and full and whole within himself, and yet there is a message that we are pretty excited about and we want to proclaim.
Yeah, David, great to hear from you. Appreciate your insightful questions. Hope you keep listening and call again.
Well, yes, indeed. And that's what Basic Gospel is all about, is proclaiming that message of Jesus Christ, the one who came from the Father, came from above, clothed himself in flesh and blood, became one of us, offered himself as the sin offering to take away the sin of the world once and for all. He was buried. He was raised back to life. And through faith in him, we can have eternal life. We can be saved. That story has been from the very beginning. Just bits of it have been revealed throughout history, and they found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And it's in him that all can be saved, whether Jew or Gentile.
Yeah.
That's Basic Gospel. That's good news.
Yes, indeed. Several of you have held on the line. If you will hold on, we'll be back on the air with our program number 2 in about 6 or 7 minutes. If you can hold, we'd love to address your question on that edition of Basic Gospel. Also, what does the Word of God have to say about money? We'll find out in Bob Christopher's 2-CD message, Grace and Money, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And as we've mentioned, we have an exciting matching gift challenge between now and the 31st, and you can double the reach of your ministry by joining with us. Every contribution will be matched dollar for dollar up to $25,000. Normally, a gift of $175 reaches 500 people, and thanks to the Matching Gift Challenge, that same $175 gift can now reach 1,000 people with the gospel message. Of course, your gift of any amount is doubled, so this is a perfect time to offer your most generous gift, whatever that might be, and really make it count to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. Calling 1-800-727-2828 today, you can make that gift. Again, that's 800-727-2828, or link online at basicgospel.net. Please be sure to choose matching gift as the fund designation. We also accept donations through PayPal, and currently this is the best way for those of you outside the U.S. to support the ministry. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.